player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
Failure.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Uh-oh.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
Oh, that's just dumb, though.
I've never been proven more wrong in my life so quickly and so dramatically. Recording July 24th, 2023. It is the sixth podcast of the year featuring Snap Wilson and the rest of the bench. Sixth pod bench squad. I can say it. Robococo MJ Tolliver. Today we are discussing the fiery hot Dallas Wings 7-1 over their last eight. But first, how's everybody doing today? MJ, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, just dealing with the raid spray, like I told you, from spraying Spider-Man on the side of my bed. But other than that, everything is well. Everybody's doing good. And I'm good. I'm in one piece and
like
and
J. Jonah happy. Jameson, you're like, get you, wall crawler.
Yes, sir. We're gonna get you, Spider-Man.
I want pictures of Spider-Man. Becky, how you doing? Welcome back. Happy to have you back on the pod.
Yes, we miss you.
It was a great pod. I'm glad Lindsay is too famous for us, because otherwise I'm concerned I'd be replaced. She did a great job, and I was glad. I was bummed to miss it.
Never.
Yeah, Lindsay was a lot of fun, and we are looking forward to having her back. That was very, very awesome. That was one of my like dream gets, so I was happy to make it happen. Let us move on to, while I have a zillion tabs up, let us move on to our usual sixth player of the week. We will start with you, MJ. Who are your candidates?
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Right off top, huh?
Let's do it.
Okay, well, yes, don't take my fan card. That's what we discussed.
I'm not going to take your fan card if you say your name.
Lexi Brown.
That's right.
Welcome back, Lexi. I'm so happy to see you. Lexi's looks, but on the actual basketball floor. Yeah. Thank you, LA. Come on, let's go do something. You just want one, or you want?
No, go for it. Who else you got? We'll just say Lexi, 13 points, 5-9 from the field, 3 rebounds against the Minnesota Lynx.
Yes. You know what? I'll let Becky have it, because we miss her, and I know she probably got a list. I'll just throw Lexi. Lexi's my pick.
I figured as much.
Yeah, I wrote down Lexi too, but I was like, I'm gonna.
Yeah, yeah.
That's MJ. He's got chips. So my nominee this week is gonna be Jordan Horston.
Hey.
She averaged 11.5 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 stocks. Across 2 games. I also just read this really great article about her from Cora Hall, the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Yeah,
about
was
how
really
she
good
can
one.
Finally be herself and stand up for what she believes in the WNBA, which includes posting on Instagram, "Go Gays," which I just love that for her. So I think it was that really put it over the top to be my nominee. But I think we also have to shout out Shook Sutton once again. Had multiple solid games off the bench. And speaking of being back, Marine Johannes had a bit of a comeback game against Indiana, 12 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. Love to see that from her. But my official pick is Jordan.
There you go. My official pick is going to be, you know, I'm ride or die, Derek Ahambi. Oh.
Yes.
18 points, 8-9 shooting. 2 rebounds against the Dallas Wings. Spoiler alert, that's who we're talking about today. She had a really, really nice game off the bench. Just for the heck of it, a couple of other players that had some good games. Oh, wait a minute, you know what? We can't leave her out. So we're going to kind of have like another one here, because we really can't leave her out. Shea Petty had 20 points, 5-8 shooting, 6 rebounds. We'll add her in as a collective pick here, because she deserves also to be on the ballot this week. And then we had some other nice performances. AD Durr, 13 points, 4-6 shooting, not bad. We had snap favorite. Wait, who was it? Megan Gustafson had a nice game. And then Dejanay, another 10 points, 4 of 8 shooting against Phoenix. We had Queen Egbo, 10 points, perfect shooting, 5 of 5 from the floor. She is basically she's doing much better on the Mystics than she was doing on the Fever, I have to say. And then who else do we have? Yeah, oh, Megan Gustafson, that was it. 12 points, 4 of 7 from the floor. Kind of fun little game against the Mystics. And finally, as I scroll and find out, yeah, Maureen Johan in the game against the Fever, and then Kayla Thornton also had a really nice game against them as well. Same game, both of them played really, really well. Good comeback, good vibes game, even though it was against the Fever, who everybody should be having a good vibes game. Jonquel Jones, great week for her. She had some nice games.
Was it?
Yeah, Jonquel.
That body language still ain't always the best.
we'll see how it goes. We'll see if it continues. She's kind of shown flashes of it in the past. So, knock on wood. Hoping that Jonquel has kind of turned it around. Yes.
There's your wood.
I heard it. There's your wood. There's the bumper for you, Becky, for this pod. There's your wood. All right. Moving on right now. We're going to get to... since Becky was not here last week, and you know, we don't like to leave anybody out. If we are Rose on that Titanic door that's sitting there in the middle of the Arctic, we are pulling you aboard because we're not leaving anybody behind, right? No. Unlike Rose. So, Becky, we're hauling you aboard. We're going to ask you about your first half award winner since you weren't around to do it last week. And we like to get everybody's thoughts on things. So, let us start with the MVP. Who is your first half MVP, Becky?
I'm going to be very controversial and brave here and say Breanna Stewart.
I feel like how could you say something so controversial yet so brave?
I feel like I'm getting weird hate on Twitter for like being like, I think the New York Liberty is a good team. I think they're playing pretty well.
Right.
She's doing a whole lot for this team, putting up a really, really great season. I think the stats bear it out. I think I was partially convinced by the multiple 40 plus point games. I think her and Asia is very, very close though. And I feel like I've said this multiple times on the podcast now. I just feel like the MVP race for the next foreseeable future is just going to be Stewie and Asia because they're just both at that level and have been for a while. And then Depoy, I put Asia.
Okay.
Mostly, I'm going to be honest, it's a bit of a split in the baby sort of vote. most improved, I went with my hometown hero, Alana Smith.
Okay.
Nice.
Adopted hometown hero, I guess. I just think, you know, going
your hometown is Sydney, Australia, and you just haven't told anybody yet.
After being cut from multiple WNBA teams midseason and then coming here and being, you know,
yeah,
you know, could be arguably one of the best players on the Sky, one or two maybe. She's just had a great season. Rookie of the year, Aaliyah Boston. Sixth player of the year, I actually found the hardest because I think about it a lot more often and there's a lot of players I want to say.
It's wide open.
It really is. There's a lot of names. I think really good arguments for Sammy Whitcomb, particularly. I feel like she's come on pretty strong in the last week or so. Dejanay Carrington didn't do much to start the season because she just wasn't getting played. But now with the lineup changes in Connecticut, she's really popping off. Dana Evans was a little bit stronger at the start of the season, but still doing really well. Kayla Thornton, I think, has been a solid candidate all year. And I think her impact isn't always reflected on the box score because she's just so much of the defense and hustle plays that doesn't mean she's always scoring the most points, but she's doing a whole lot out there. I am ultimately going for another player that's been kind of shunted around the league, which is Shug Sutton.
Oh,
gonna go for it. I was convinced because she was leading in assists, 4.1 assists from the bench, which shows what an important role she's playing off the bench of leading that unit. And her other stats, I think, support it. She's right in there. So I'm going with Suge Sutton.
Okay. Very nice.
Jordan Horston also has actually a pretty good case, though she's less consistently on the bench. She starts occasionally.
Some games, yeah.
And the team's maybe bad enough. Like, Phoenix is pretty bad, but Seattle's really bad that you might not be giving out awards from that team. And then I think we did all WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I just think it can't be denied that the Aces are like a historically good team, that it's really ludicrous how good they are. Mm-hmm. So I have all WNBA as Asia, Jackie, and Chelsea, and then Stewie and AT.
I like the way you think.
It's they're just doing so good. And like, your only argument about like Asia maybe isn't the MVP because her team's so good, but they're also so good.
I reject that argument, by the way. Like, if that's your decider, like, oh no, the team's too good, she can't be that valuable. It's like, well, then what is the point of, you know, playing beyond the being as good as it only takes to like win by one? Please stop.
Yeah. It's just harder to differentiate, maybe necessarily, because the team is doing so well. Like, if you know, I think we could be pretty confident you can plop Asia on a terrible team and she'd be doing very, very well on that team and maybe even putting up bigger numbers on that team. But I guess that's the argument, is when you have really exceptional players around you, good players make other players look better. And
that's part of it.
That whole team is surrounded by players that make each other look better. And so they just look incredible. And
yeah, that's always going to be part of it, is the thing that people want to say, well, like, we want to evaluate this player in a vacuum. That's impossible. You can't do that. I mean, you're going to go into so many hypotheticals that you're creating a world, a universe that doesn't exist. What if Asia didn't have Chelsea? What if Asia didn't have Kelsey or whatever? Well, she does. And it makes her better. It makes her better. That's the way basketball works. So I think it's okay if your MVP has good teammates. They just allow you to play to your full potential. And that's what happens.
Get them, Snap.
I'm just saying. Okay, so did you have a second team, Becky?
Oh, no.
Okay, that's fine. What's your favorite story of the first half?
Oh, I did not think about that at
all. Well, I guess, well, what comes to mind for you?
Dwayne Wade joining the Sky.
Okay.
Nice.
That's cool. I like it.
He need to be the coach right now.
No, he needs to bring in those investors. That's what he needs to be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's phone calls. That's for sure.
And any favorite moment? Anything that stands out in a game, or just anything in particular?
Oh,
I know we're doing pop quiz.
Yeah, pop quiz, I do. Maybe one of the clips that I've watched the most is a clip of Alana Smith blowing by Brea Stewart to score.
Okay.
Which I saw live and loved.
I love it.
Yeah, first thing that comes to mind is I've rewatched that clip multiple times.
Okay.
To get and all anything, the angles.
Anything in particular you're looking forward to in the second half?
There's so many teams. I'm really excited to continue to watch Dallas Wings. There's just teams I'm really excited for. Excited to watch Dallas. Excited to watch Seattle. Just watching the Seattle-Chicago game that I missed over the weekend. And I'm very glad that Chicago won that game, but also Seattle's very fun. And I really enjoy watching them. Yeah.
Cool. All right. There you go, folks. We got answers for everything here. All right. And now we are going to move on to the Dallas Wings. And let me bring this up real quick. The Dallas Wings are currently a WNBA team. All right. That was enough stalling. 13-9. And fourth place, solidly, I guess, in fourth place. They're kind of a ways from third, about three back in the loss column, 7.5 games out of first. But they are 7-1 over their last 8, and thereby are gaining everybody's, oh, the Dallas Wings, look at them. The way I felt about them at the beginning is they had really kind of played a weak schedule, and they weren't playing particularly well anyway. And I wanted to see how they stacked up against good teams. Well, I don't know exactly what happened. Some switch flipped. They kind of got some things in order. And they've been killing it for the last 8 games. Over the last 8, let me bring up some stats here. They have an offensive rating of 110.6. That would be second over every team's, counting every team's last 8 games, which is what WNBA.com does when you parse out stats like that. Their defensive rating would be third. Both, but obviously the second behind the Aces in offensive rating. Defensive rating would be behind the Dream and the Aces at 96.7. Second in net rating, 13.9 behind the Aces. And first in offensive rebounds. They've been all year, I think, first in offensive rebounds. But over the last 8, they're like 6 percentage points higher than anybody else. The Chicago Sky are second, by the way. They are second in defensive rebounding behind the Atlanta Dream. First in overall. This one surprised me. They're first in turnover percentage. Because they have a few turnover candidates on that team. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And yeah, it's just...
Are you scared?
Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like... Well, this is what we're going to get into. We'll kind of go game by game a little bit. But how closely have you been paying attention, MJ? Have you been like stalking your ex on her Instagram, or what's going on?
I don't do the stalking much.
No, okay.
But it, like, after I slept on them for the Aces game, and it was like, oh, the Wings beat the Aces. Then, like I told you, I went and rewatched it and didn't retain anything because I'm cautiously optimistic about the trend that they're on right now, because I don't want to manifest anything, because since we're the manifestation station. But and I'm
so
stop
now
right there.
When you were watching that, were you thinking, oh, this is really showing us something, or was it just kind of a case of, oh, this is a thing that happened?
Usually, at least this season for me, when the Aces lose, it's just like, okay, well, what they miss, what, like a pass or a couple of shots or something like that. But
I want to talk about the end of that game. That I watched it again. Watching it for this podcast infuriated me, watching the end of that game. I hated it so much. We should have won that game. I thought the Wings played better in the game that they lost at home, which was the game right before that.
It seems like the speed that they play at naturally mucks everything up.
That's a really good way of phrasing it.
And they have a way of actually executing out of a frenetic pace better than probably everybody except the Aces.
So they're 10th in pace over this 8-game streak.
Really?
Yeah. That was another thing that surprised me. But I think it's deliberate, because they want to get Tira involved.
Yeah.
But they also bang off of turnovers, like, every time. It's just that they'll aside from that, they'll walk it up, and it seems like a conscious decision.
Yeah. And you saying about Tierra too, like, they, I think Jonquil probably watches them and it's like, why can't you guys just give me the ball the way Tierra gets the ball? For some reason, when I see Tierra getting the ball, and because they utilize her in a way that's like, okay, they know we're going at whatever pace we're going at, they're starting to kind of like chase us off with a three and whatnot. Oh, okay, I'm gonna drive up. Oh, here you go. And then boom, Tierra. And then it's like they'll throw it to the, like, in the block, on the block to Natasha, and she'll just create something. And then then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, damn, what do we do? How do we defend this now? And then all of a sudden their frenetic pace is, and spacing is back wide open. And then I don't know, Arike has been going absolutely crazy, and I love her.
She's
floaters.
Had a few theater games, yeah.
Bro, like, what? What's that? She made that one shot against the Sparks, I want to say, all the way from, like, it was like line drive all the way out from three and just floated it in the air. And I'm just like, she's got to miss this swish. She has looks like Chelsea Gray, your girl, Chelsea Gray, my girl too, young MJ. But she kind of been looking like Chelsea Gray a little bit with her execution, like not necessarily in-game execution, or like as far as like at the end of the game, for those who don't know what I'm saying here, not in game, but in the game. But yeah. Yeah, like she looks really good, man. And I'm, of course, Satou has been balling, and I think it's got to do with, of course, her health, the logjam not being there that they had, and the sleeper on the team is actually Natasha Howard. She's like, I think she's the glue, because without her, it's probably an extra 5 or 6 games lost.
Yeah, well, she is the one who is like uncharacteristically
going crazy.
Like if you look at the numbers, yeah. She's got like a 60% true shooting percentage over this streak.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's not, I don't see like, well, I guess I do see things that are, she's getting a lot of easier shots and not having to, you know, do post up, spin around, this is doomed to fail type things. But even those, you know, she's been hitting just because she's been on fire, like hitting a lot of like shots, tough shots. And then on top of that, she's just like, she's getting a lot easier stuff. It's like the way the offense should be functioning is actually functioning for her. And she's just getting in there, getting close, getting in, somebody makes a good pass and it opens up the space for her. But anyway, so Becky, when I handed out this assignment, like what were you looking at immediately? And tell us some of the conclusions that you came to when we were talking about the Dallas Wings.
Two things right away, because I was wanted to confirm if my suspicions were correct. Like, have I seen this or is this a thing? Which is that a lot of their success is powered by rebounding, and particularly offensive rebounding. They're getting 2.5 more offensive rebounds per game than the next best team in that. Big T, Tara McCown is the best in the league in offensive rebounding. Yep. And they got Satou, Kalani, and Natasha Howard are all like in the top 10. So that's been very important for them. And then I also looked at Arike, because she is still a huge focal point of this team. And I felt like she's been playing a little better this year. And I think the numbers bear that out. Her assists are up, her steals are up, her efficiency is about the same. But I like that there's more that ball movement going around.
Yeah.
And it is true that this team somewhat goes how Arike goes, that she's shooting 10% better in wins than in losses. But it made me think that maybe part of, we talk about, can you build a winning team around Arike? Having a team full of really good offensive rebounders and a player that is able to hit a bunch of shots and create like that is a pretty good formula, potentially, right? I saw an interview with her and she was talking about, like, you know, what everyone on the team is doing. And one thing she praised Maddie Segrist for is, she's like, I swear at least once a game, Maddie gets one of my offensive rebounds and scores off of it. It's like, yeah. Arike creates a lot of offensive rebounds for the rest of her team. And they're very good at hoovering those up. And you know, Tiara and Kalani are incredibly efficient in those putbacks, which has been pretty successful.
Here's you raise an interesting question. And I'm wondering if maybe we're not asking the right question about this. Is the, can you build a successful team around Arike? I'm wondering if the question instead shouldn't be, can you build a successful team around Satou? Because I think Satou, well, I am, you know, very confident Satou is the best player on this team right now. Would you guys agree with that?
I agree. I think, I mean, we know what Arike has been doing. Because she's been doing it year in and year out. And it, like, having Satou come in and be the force that she's been as well, and actually have the room to do so this time instead of what was she like coming off the bench last year, I think, for a second, and then like just not really included in the offense and stuff like that. So just seeing her actually be put in the position that she can succeed in now is what is giving her so much attention. You know, all you know is due, but I think that just her level of, because she's averaging what? She's like one of the top scorers in the league, right? Like top five, if not top three. Or maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe
I know. I think you're up. She's scoring, but she's like ranking high in a lot of other things. She's ranking high. I think she's like third in offensive rebounds, something like that. Matter of fact, I can bring up her basketball reference page, which will tell us everything.
Yeah, and then like I remember when we were discussing Dallas earlier, like it might have been one of the first pods for this season, and I was saying she needs to play the three because it'll help her just free flow as opposed to playing the four with a lot of the bigs that are coming in now. And she's shining like in that role. I really think she is. And you were right. I think both of you might have said it when I said they need to have a triumvirate of, I said Tierra at the time. And then I think one of you both might have said Natasha at the time. So we were on to something. We manifested what we're seeing with Dallas. No, we did. We are the manifestation. We are the manifestation station, people. Listen.
And so here's Satu's black ink real quick. She's sixth in free throws, third in offensive rebounds, sixth in defensive rebounds, third in total rebounds, fifth in steals. And then for the negative side, she's third in turnovers and second in personal fouls. She's filling it up. not necessarily all the great stuff, but but she's definitely doing like a lot aside from scoring. And I think her scoring is probably somewhere like 15th or so. I don't know exactly, but it's pretty up there. But she's also like, you know, making contributions everywhere, especially on the boards.
Yeah, and man, I don't know what more to say. What, Becky, you got anything for Satu? Because I could gush over her all day.
Go for it.
I mean, I'll just say that because I've said some stuff in some tweets. Like, everybody's like, oh, Satu. I'm like, you guys just didn't watch her overseas, did you? You didn't watch her at all.
And she's great, like every year, though.
Yeah, she is. And it's like that. I didn't think that it was going to take anything extra for her to translate her game to the W except playing time and actually being a focal point of the offense. Like, she's that good. So, cause she's like dominating and stuff over there, winning championships and stuff. It's just like, come on, man. Like, she's been doing this. It's just Dallas was in the cluster that they were in. Cause like, if we think about it, they had Izzy over there. They had Kayla over there. They had Queen Egbo too, right? Mm-hmm. Alicia Gray, like, just think about all the players right now that have moved on and are shining right now in their other destinations, and it like suddenly you move the curtain and it's like, oh, we have Satu. It's like, well, yeah, and she's nice, so player, and then so here we are. This is where we are now. It's like you move all of the pieces out that, you know, they weren't even playing those pieces right. They weren't playing Alicia right, Izzy, and everybody else. Kayla, well, Kayla was fine. Because Kayla's still been Kayla. She's been a hustler, playing great defense and stuff like that. Like, I knew what Kayla was too. But Satu needs time. And then, more importantly, without even throwing all of that out there, she just needed to be healthy. Because really, at the end of the day, I can't sit up here and blame like any of the coaching or any of the players that they did have, because she just wasn't healthy anyway. And she was always coming in like five games later, no training camp. You know, it's a few other things that come into play when it comes to Satu, but this time she was ready and it was the perfect storm.
So let's go over the games a little bit, just so we can kind of break this down, this 7-8 that they've been through. And it started back on June 27th, a month ago. Basically, we're talking about the last month. Here's the last month of Dallas play. So, and where they, the last game before that, they lost to the Sparks. In fact, they lost two separate games to the Sparks. And they had lost, what, five of six before that, before this streak started. So things were not looking good. So where? They get right against the Mercury, which, you know, a lot of teams have done that. 77. Wait, where is it here? 77-62. My takeaway from that game, that was not a great game. That was a game that Phoenix just basically did everything in their power to throw away. Natasha Howard played really well. Both of them, Natasha and Satu, both had double doubles, 19 and 10 for Natasha, 18 and 12 for Satu. Arike had 23 points. But it was like lots of turnovers for the Mercury, and Dallas capitalizing on them. Dallas made a lot of turnovers themselves in that game. It was very sloppy, but they won. And then the next game after that was against the Mystics, without Deladon, without Shakir Austin. I remember thinking, Dallas is not going to lose this game, are they? It was still a question because they'd just been playing so poorly. It was like, if they lost this game, that would have been a really bad sign. They did not. They beat them 89-72. And then came the first game against the Aces in Las Vegas, where they only lost by 7. I thought they played really well in that one. Fantastic defense inside from Natasha and from Tier McCowan on Asia, just like denying her. That was the game without Kelsey Plum. That was the one that she missed because of non-COVID. And that was the game that Satu only played one half. She scored 9 points in the first half.
That's right. And she got hurt. And then
was didn't play the second half. And yeah. Natasha Howard went bonkers in that game, 32 points. But yeah, it was like, Asia scored 22, but it was like rough. Jackie Young was heroic in that game, 28 points. And a lot of them were really, really tough shots. I thought that was, like, watching that back, I thought that was closer to being lost. And then it was just like, you know, the Aces made their run, and you couldn't stop them, and they were hitting threes. And it just, after that, it was close towards the end of the game. Like, it really felt like Dallas could have pulled that out. And then the next game, the Aces played their second worst game of the season. They didn't get any scoring, 0 points from the bench. They had every opportunity to win it. This was the ending was infuriating. So many turnovers. Asia just trying to make a pass, turned it over. Again, really good defense. I'm not saying, you know, like it was all the Aces being bad, but it was just like the end of that game. I think we were up by 11 in the, like, towards the end of the third, and we were up by like 6 or so. It felt like they should have just walked away with it. And then it was just like turnover, this and that. There was one offensive rebound at the end that if they had corralled it, they would have probably been able to close it out. But Kelsey and Candace collided and they fell over each other and the ball went out of bounds and it went to Dallas. And then the final shot, and I remember when it was happening, I was thinking, this is going to be a Tier McCowan put back. And I was right. But it took forever. Like, that ball, they took like 4 or 5 shots and missed and missed and missed. And then finally Tiara put it in. And that was the one that was the winning shot to put them up by 2. And then they messed up the Aces messed up the ensuing position.
The inbound.
The final thing. Yeah, the inbound.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that game. That was the worst stretch of play by them all year. But yeah, really good defense by the Aces, by the Wings. I was surprised. It was like, you played so much better in the previous game, but you won this game. So really, yeah, and that was the game where they really, really did a great job of denying Asia inside. But on top of that, it was just like missed threes, missed free throws, that kind of thing. Just like all the bad things happening at once. So it's just going to happen to any team. And then after, you know, playing really well against the best team in the league, they go to Indiana and only win by 1. They were struggling all game with them. And the thing that they did well the previous 2 games, interior defense, they got manhandled by Aaliyah Boston,
yes,
and Alyssa Smith. Figure this team out. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, Aaliyah, don't sleep on Aaliyah.
I know, right? Yeah, Aaliyah's great. But I'm just saying, it was just like, you were doing this so well. That, by the way, that was like a Lexi Hall defensive masterpiece of a game. She really, really did a great job on Satu. That was the other thing that I was like, wow, Lexi Hall, look at you. And then after, you know, that like near bobble, and I think that was like Indiana was up late and Arike had to bail him out basically. And she went on a tear at the end of that Indy game to give them the win. Scored like 10 points, 14 points in the quarter, in the fourth quarter, and like 10 straight for the Wings to give them the win. Yeah, she got on a heater and it worked out. And then the next game after that near miss, a farce. It just destroyed Minnesota. 40 points. I mean, like that game shouldn't count. It was so bad. Minnesota was just terrible. Satu
and Arike both had a plus minus of 40. I've never seen that.
No, I don't think I have either. That's something to go look up. I think I'm going to go look that up afterwards on. Yeah, Satu had 40. You're right. Satu and Arike had 40. Tira had 37. Natasha had 32. Crystal Dangerfield had 30.
Wow.
In general, by the way, Crystal Dangerfield's play during this whole stretch, like her shooting, not super great, sub 500 true shooting percentage, which kind of surprises me when I looked up that number, but just generally solid. Like she made Chelsea uncomfortable in that second game, just with just defensive harassment, pester, didn't allow her to get into position to like survey the floor and make one of her wild, crazy passes. Just pounding her all over and just hitting shots here and there, hitting little mid-range shots and just doing a great job. I was really, really impressed. And then after that, we had the Liberty game. Another weird thing going on. That, first of all, that's like a camp day. It's weird. Camp games are always like really strange. But this is one of those Liberty games that you're watching and you're like, what is wrong with you? Why are you having such a hard time doing the things that you can do? Everybody struggled basically, except Sabrina. And I think Brianna put up some decent numbers, but you watch the game itself and you're like, why are you having such a hard time? So in part, it was really good defense. You know, Sabrina was the only one who was able to get hot the entire game. But the thing is, like, one thing that you could say throughout this entire stretch is that the Wings were running off turnovers in transition.
Like crazy.
Yeah, like crazy. And this one, they didn't do that much. It was really strange. It was like watching a different team, kind of. And I guess they just had to adjust. But they also famously set a record for fewest turnovers, tied it with only two turnovers.
With two, yeah.
Yeah. Against the Liberty in that game. And then we had the most recent one. And at this point, it wasn't really a surprise. They managed to finally beat the Sparks, who I think they were 0-3 against up until that point. And just, you know, the Sparks are going through it right now anyway.
Yeah, so nothing. I was rooting against Dallas that game.
You were? Why?
Because Lexi's on the floor.
Oh, because Lexi was back. All right. Well, you picked the wrong game. Yeah, now we're getting them right before they go to Connecticut, which will be that's going to be an interesting one. That'll be fun. I think we'll kind of get a real picture of where they are, seeing how they were this game. But it's a strange streak. Like if you're like 7-1, and aside from the 40-point bombing, there's not like really super strong wins. They didn't really blow anybody out. They had 98-84, a 14-point win, and, you know, 10 points against the Liberty on the road, which is, you know, fantastic. And I think it was actually more than that. You know, they were way ahead, and then New York kind of just came back a little bit to make it look more decent than it was. So I guess there was that. But it was just like, you know, close win here, close win against the Aces, close win against Indiana. And I'm wondering, like, is this team on a heater, or have they really, really unlocked something? Is this a convincing seven? Well, I guess it's 7-1. It's just kind of dumb to say. Is this a convincing 7-1 stretch?
There's the cautiousness that I'm talking about.
Yeah, it is. So why are we so cautious about this team? Why are we not just embracing them and saying, you know what? They're here. They have taken their place. Becky, do you feel like they're taking their place as one of the best teams in the league?
I think so. I don't think this is a fluky streak.
Okay.
You know, they were missing Tierra McCowan for a long stretch of the season. They were figuring out their point guard role. I think one thing be interesting to talk about is them moving away from Veronica Burton and more towards Crystal Dangerfield.
Bringing in Odyssey finally back full time.
Yeah.
And giving a lot of VB minutes to her.
Yeah. Which, you know, I really believe in Veronica Burton, but it does also reflect them being in more of a win now mode rather than developing Veronica by bringing in someone that you're, you know, Odyssey is kind of a trusted veteran as opposed to more of a project, which I'm not sure if I agree with that approach, but it does seem to be working for them in terms of their standings.
Yeah, their performance, recent performance, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I think Crystal Dangerfield is underrated on this team because her ability to get downhill is similar to Arike's, and it opens up Arike for a lot of catch and shoot opportunities. Really opens up everybody, as opposed to it just being Arike, and like it was Marina last year, and Marina's not, you know, she's not gung-ho like that all the time. But Crystal seems to be always on the attack as well. And I think that helps. I don't really know what to make of like how things just flow for them, because I just think it's just frenetic. But I think that she keeps that level of things, like she keeps it at that type of, like you just have to be on pins and needles all the time trying to guard them. Yeah, whereas so if it was, go ahead.
No, go on. Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, whereas, you know, if it was like Marina, you know, she's going to get the ball and then she's going to try to do something, and it might not be as fast paced, and it probably won't be downhill either. You know,
there seem to be much less of those. Arike is just running it and is going to take the shot regardless type possessions. In terms of statistics, her usage has gone down during the streak to 25.2, which is still pretty darn high, but it was at like 26.9 overall this season, so it was obviously a lot higher before this streak. And that's kind of the possessions that I feel like that they have somehow got to her. Somebody, maybe it was Odyssey. Yep. Maybe it was Odyssey who just went up and said, listen, stop doing this. And I think it's obvious where it went. It went to Tierra. So they're slowing it down. They're letting Tierra get involved. It pays to let her get position for the offensive rebound, if nothing else. But Satu bringing it up a whole lot. That was, I would wager, if you counted out the number of who is bringing the ball up possession, Satu would be first over this streak, just judging from my watching. Yeah, she was initiating a lot of the offense. There was a couple of times, like the most successful defense that they had against her. We saw Indy do it a little bit. We saw the Aces do it somewhat, was going out and pressing her as she was bringing it up. That seemed to be like the smart play. And then she had to give it up and it went to Crystal or whomever. Yeah, Crystal is definitely the eye test person. Like, if you look at the numbers and then you watch him, the person you'd be most impressed with watching would be CD. Because she fits in just like wonderfully. She knows where to go. I think she is very responsible for the turnover rate, the diminishing turnover rate. Her and Odyssey both, because Odyssey's turnover rate is actually pretty great too. And maybe it's just getting those ball handlers in and, you know, letting them, you know, organize the half court per se. And then only going for those transition opportunities like when you have it, live ball turnovers, good opportunities off of defensive rebounds, this and that. I do think Arike has been playing a lot more in control. Not so many run, I'm going to run, I am going to take this shot no matter what happens type of possessions. More
mid-range.
More mid-range, but also more high impact passing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. getting the ball into of a dangerous scoring area, which Tierra McCown is really useful if she manages to get position. They're like making it a point to trying to get the ball into her and, you know, just seeing what happens. So there's that. And then on top of it, she's playing free safety more on defense, which is probably the best thing for her. Put her on the weakest player and just have her get ready to jump passing lanes. And that's been that happened a lot. And that's why the steals are up, is that they kind of changed that defensive idea of her, rather than having her go out and guard the point guard at the point of attack. They just put her against whoever's on the wing, and then she'll kind of keep an eye on where the ball's going and try and jump the lane. And it's been working. It's been working more than it's like failed. So that there's that. Yeah, the way that they've structured it is, it feels a lot better. I think that the lack of turnovers and just letting Tierra and Natasha and Satu Kalani go get offensive boards and everything is making their offense look really, really good. Even if the shooting, it's not necessarily all through, you know, efficient shooting, you're just getting more opportunities and you're wasting fewer possessions. And that's what's making the offense as good as it is.
So I have one concern. And either of you can answer. When it comes playoff time and teams are scouting, and it's going to be a little bit slower pace, more of a half court game.
That's right.
And I know you spoke about what their pace has been. Mm-hmm. Will they be prepared for the heavy hitters that are already built and have much more experience in their half court sets than the wings?
So I'll let Becky answer. Like, Becky, how optimistic would you feel at this point, looking ahead to the future as for the Wings as a playoff team?
Be optimistic. Aren't they the only team that's beaten both the Liberty and the Aces?
This is true.
And they gave the Aces hell in both their games. So, true. You know, I don't think it is likely that this is a finals or championship team, but I think they can cause a lot of chaos in the playoffs. And I don't see them missing the playoffs at this point.
Oh, nice. No, definitely not. Yeah.
Chaos in the playoffs.
Yeah. No,
like that.
they might be a team that's going to boop some other teams.
Well, the way things are shaking out, they look like a fourth seed right now, which would put them against the Aces in the second round.
So do the Sun have their number?
They may not have to play them. Sun might, they just face the Liberty in the second round. They could avoid each other. If the Sun are the third and the Wings are fourth, then they don't have to worry about it.
Are you worried, Snap?
Sun played the Wings without Breonna Jones?
No, they definitely have not.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's happening tomorrow.
Oh.
I think that's
have a few good games tomorrow.
Be very relevant because Breonna Jones would be yep. Be crucial in a game against the Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So see how that works.
Yeah, Tierra is definitely a handful. It'll be, well, we also kind of saw Tierra, you know, play really well at the end of last season, and then the playoffs came around and she turned into a pumpkin. did not have a good playoff series after being the player of the month for the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Coached by the coach of the month, I believe. They retired that championship belt after Vicky walked away with it, decided not to return it. Yeah, like the teams behind. Well, Atlanta is still a team I could imagine making some noise if, you know, they clear up whatever it is that needs to be cleared up. What's going on with them? That's a weird team. We may have to take a look at them, closer look at them. There's a lot of things going on with Atlanta. But yeah, Washington and Atlanta. And Washington, EDD is going to be out. I'm not really very optimistic on even them holding on to their current fifth seed at this point. Shakir, I don't know how much longer Shakir is going to be out, but that sucks.
Please hurry back for my fantasy team.
just hurry back for all of our sakes.
Yeah.
Watch good players play basketball again. So yeah, I can see Atlanta kind of, you know, making a bit of a run. They may be in contention for that fourth seed. But still, that's the Aces side of the bracket. It's going to be 4 versus 5, whoever, Dallas versus one of those two teams, and then the Aces. Am I worried about it? Not particularly. But I'm not worried about any team particularly. I will acknowledge, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and give anybody, you know, a bulletin board material or anything and say that they absolutely cannot be beaten in the playoffs. I think anything can happen, especially over the 3-game series. But like the 3-game series for us is looking like either Chicago, Minnesota, probably not the Sparks. The Sparks are probably done, but one of those teams, I'm not particularly worried about that. And, you know, 5-game series, once we get to 5, I can't see Dallas beating us 3 out of 5. And that may be hubris. I certainly would not put any money on it at all whatsoever. No way, no how. I think the Aces can figure out just about anybody over a 5-game series. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But could they win a game? Sure.
Just a game?
Could they win 2 games?
They're very close to winning 2 games. And one of went out.
They were close to losing 2 games, too. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah. It was close. It could have gone either way. But, you know, the Aces also, like, when the chips are down, they usually find that extra gear. You know, Chelsea Gray just goes nuts or somebody goes nuts. There are more options. If the Aces were missing one of the key four players, then I would be worried about it. Put it that way. But if the main four are there and healthy and, you know, we haven't lost, like, you know, everybody else on the team, then I think I'm confident that we get through it. Knock on whatever the hell this table is made out of. let us take a quick look here real quick at the numbers going on. We'll just briefly talk about each player before we head out. I brought up offensive rebound percentage. Dallas has the top two in the league, minimum 100 minutes this season. Tier McCown, three of the top four. Tier McCown is number one, 14.4%. Kalani Brown is at 13.6%. Matty Segrist, 13.2% offensive rebound percentage. Like, when they drafted Matty Segrist, I was not thinking, oh, good, they're going to have a bench player give him 10 minutes a game and provide some toughness and rebounding. That wasn't the role that I had envisioned for her.
She's a good rebounder.
She's a really good. She's showing she's a really good rebounder. She's been great.
She's been a glue girl. She's like kind of filling the Kayla Thornton role a little bit,
I guess. Yeah, kind of.
Just a little, yeah. And she comes in with like timely key plays, like at moments that's crucial to whether the game is about to sway, you know, in their favor or not. And then here she comes, and it's like, oh, she scored 2 quick buckets real quick, just on hustle.
She is really, really instinctive on that end, on the offensive end, like specifically, for getting rebounds. I'm not going to go into my playground, you know, ballpark playing days or whatever, but I used to play with somebody like that who just like knew where the ball was going to come off and could get there before anybody else. And that's what it felt like watching her, just like somebody who's got like a really good instinct of where the ball is going to come down. She gets to the spot, she gets it, and she usually gets there quick enough that she can put up a shot too, which is just really impressive. Like, that was not the skill I expected her to be highlighting at the next level, but is, you know, good on her. You enjoying the Maddie experience, Becky, in the WNBA?
a great time. You know, I wish you had some more minutes.
Yeah.
It could be moving a little faster as an experience, but I feel like she's, you know, she's been improving throughout the year.
She's getting minutes on a good team. So
yeah. She's showing the progress that you want to see. So I'm happy about it.
Cool. All right. So let me look at this real quick, since I bothered to pull them up in the first place. Over the 8-game streak, it has been Arike 21.1 points per game, which for Arike, not very high. Totally. Natasha Howard, 20.8. Again, Natasha Howard on, what is it, 60.5 true shooting percentage. Bonkers. Satu, 16.4 points per game. And hers is pretty good too, 58.4 true shooting percentage. Tierra McCowan, 12 points per game, 8.3 rebounds. Natasha has 9.5 rebounds. Satu has 7.6 rebounds. I'm wondering how many players have like done that over a full season. Seems pretty hefty in the rebounding percentage. And then Crystal is, you know, just kind of rounding things out. 7.4 points. What is it? 4.4 assists. Satu has 4.5 assists. And then Kalani has only played for 4 games of this streak. And then it's Maddie Odyssey Sims, Awat Kuir, and Veronica Burton, kind of rounding out the rotation there. Like very, very interesting. The way that it was, I think Tierra McCowan was like the biggest basic thing, but the way that they have adjusted their game to incorporate her might be the real success story here. I'm still really confused by them defensively. Like at times that they play so well, and then there are other times where, and like when they let play, especially when they like let teams back in the game, which has happened a few times. It happened in that Phoenix game. That was Brittany, you know, BG, essentially. So, you know, kind of understandable. But at the same time, it was just like they'll just like lose concentration, and then other teams are just getting to the rim at will, and then they're like, "Up, oh, let's call." Trammell calls a timeout. They figure it out, and then they play well, like the rest of the way. So I think that's, if we're looking at the playoffs, we're looking at, it's like, how dangerous can they be? I think that's the end that they need to be more consistent on. Feel like that's correct, MJ?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just want to see it. I want to see it. Yeah. Like I said at the beginning of the season, I want to see it.
Unlock. Like the rebounding, that's not going away.
That's really, how they really beat New York, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's how they really contested with the Aces.
Because they box out very well.
Yeah.
It's like always two or three people down there.
Yeah, the playmaking, they've got their guard rotation. It seems pretty solid. I was against the Odyssey Sims acquisition. I didn't want to see them get rid of Ashley Jones and Jasmine Dickey, you know, and then sideline Veronica Burton. But I'm eating crow on that one. I think it's worked out for them. Just have somebody, a veteran, who knows how to get them in place.
Yes, sir.
Well, now you have Ashley Jones, so
we do.
Yeah,
she got.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she went to the. She signed a 7-day with the Aces.
Oh my! All right, it's time to end this pie because no more champagne. Wait,
why, what's how, wrong?
When did I miss this?
I don't know. It happened this past week. Yeah,
that's what's up. That's what's up.
we're desperate for players, man. We I think they got her just so they could stop playing Kelsey or Jackie in blowouts. She finally got in the most recent game. The game before that was too close. She didn't have any time to get in, and then she got in the latest game and played. But I think that there's that, and then they also were like, we need more players in practice.
Yeah.
So it was emergency hardship. It was necessary. All right. Any final thoughts on the Wings before we wrap up?
Not on the Wings, but what about how you two feel? I thought the game was today for some reason. I don't know why. But
oh, Aces Chicago. We can talk about
the Sky Aces tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. I will just say we'll talk about it as much as Becky wants to talk about
it. Oh, yeah. We're going to lose.
I'm not saying nothing. I don't want to jinx it. We'll talk about it as much as you want to talk about it next week.
I'd be shocked if this was a close game. I would love it, but I would be shocked.
All right. Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff coming up. The Dallas, Connecticut, that'll be a fun one. You know, Ace Chicago. The WNBA season rolls on, baby, and we will have a lot more to talk about. But until then, this has been the sixth podcast of the year, talking about Joel Wangs. You can come back and at me if they beat us 3-1 in the playoffs, and I'll be sad and crying, and you'll be kicking me while I'm down, but that's okay. I can take it. This has been the sixth podcast of the year for Robococo MJ Tolliver. I am Snap Wilson. Be good to each other. Leave this place better than you found it, and we will see you next week. Peace out.
Peace out.
Goodbye.